there, folks. This is Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 63. Hope you're doing well today. Feel like each episode, last few times, I've been making apologies for taking so long to come up with a new one. But still hadn't been feeling so well. But I think I finally licked it, and I think we're back on course. And to make it up for you, we've got an episode today, and in probably a day or two more, I'm going to have another episode where we've got an exclusive interview with Bob Newhart that I think you really like. So we'll be back on track, back on the saddle there. So hey, at the beginning, before the old podcast theme song started, you may have noticed with a sharp ear that we played the beginning to a really great Devo song called That's Good. And that's from the Oh No, It's Devo album that came out around 84 or 5, I believe. And just one of the best records I've ever owned. I remember getting that as a kid in high school and just really enjoying it. The cover has all the members of Devo and these potato bodies, and in the back of the album cover had like a little stand you could fold out so that you can display the album artwork as a piece of fine art on your desktop. So just really cool. But anyway, I was really surprised to discover, courtesy of the Ryan, Jenny and Johnny Ryan family in Southern California there. They're always keeping me hip to the latest fads and fashion. And they let me know about this thing called Devo 2.0, which is basically Devo reinvented as a kids group. And though that might sound revolting on the surface, it's actually a pretty funny and well put together idea. Jerry, forget his last name, and Mark Mothersbaugh, who put Devo together, are behind this, and it pretty much just sounds just like good old Devo music, except it's got this precocious little girl singing the lead vocals there. And I'm going to start with the beginning of Devo's That's Good, and then we're going to seg into their version of it, and you'll hear a few bits from some of their other songs as well, so you can get a taste of what they're all about.
Everybody, it's a good thing. Everybody, what's a good thing? Everybody, ain't it true that everybody's looking for the same thing? Ain't it true? There's just no doubt. There's some things that you can't do without, and that's good.
There you have it, Devo 2.0. I think that comes out in March, according to Amazon.com. But, you know, be interesting. I'm actually try playing that for my kids and then the real Devo music and see what they prefer. I mean, is it the fact that kids are singing it is make it more appealing for kids? Or is it really, does the music transcend all? My daughter likes a lot of crappy songs, so, you know, I'm happy to give her some good stuff there. She likes Madonna too, but she likes Hilary Duff and Lindsay Lohan and pretty much anything they play on that god-awful Radio Disney station. I don't know what it is with radio. If you have a Radio Disney station in your city, if you're cursed with it like I am, it's pretty bizarre. It's like they get these AM radio stations that, these mono crappy sounding things, and they've got about 20 songs that they play throughout the whole day. Now, on one hand, it's kind of nice because it's just completely safe music in every single way. And every now and then they'll toss you a bone, like they'll play some retro song like Cameo's Word Up or something like that. But pretty much it's nonstop Hilary Duff all day, with her singing a song like "Wake Up, Wake Up on a Saturday Night." If you've heard that song before, it's pretty sad. It's pretty much about how she sleeps all day and then wakes up at about 10 o'clock to go out partying. Because something's going on wherever you go. Maybe in New York or London or Tokyo. But anyway, when you spell Hillary with one R, you got a license to rock there, I think. By the way, that voice in the background was my wife, and as you can guess, the dishes must be done by now. Ow! Wow, if there is a way to podcast an evil glare, that would be a technical achievement of a lifetime here. Oh my gosh, can you guys hear that? Well, I can. I think it's time for Retro Crush voicemail and email too. I have lots more email and voicemail than normal, cause when you wait 2 weeks to do a show, that stuff piles up, just like my housework and other things that I should have done last year. Well, anyway, yes, I have stockpiled quite a bit of email and voicemail. And remember, as always, you can call the Retro Crush voicemail hotline by dialing 916-231-9480. That's 916-231-9480. And, by the way, I just got this fancy new cell phone here. And, I've gotten a new cell phone a couple times in my life, and one thing I like to do is to break the cell phone cherry, if you will, by downloading some kind of a new song. And I was really struggling, and I accidentally picked a song I really wasn't ready to do, but I think it's kind of cool. So now if you call me, some lucky people will hear this. Yes, a white guy with a Wu-Tang Clan ringtone. That's just a pretty much a recipe for cool in my book. But anyway, let's see here. Oh yeah, voicemail. Let's play some voicemails. And let's also play, read some email. Hold on a moment, folks. Here we go.
Hi, Rob. This is Pat from Seattle. And I was just calling to let you know that I really enjoyed your podcast about the Spice Girls. I, too, definitely consider the Spice Girls to be a guilty pleasure. And, I also liked how you pointed out sort of the interesting, sort of disturbing, at least eyebrow-raising lyrics in Wannabe. And also, in Spice Up Your Life, there's some weird lyrics about a yellow man from Timbuktu, which is vaguely racist, and I mean, I love the Spice Girls, but it's just weird. And yeah, I would play that song at work sometimes. I worked at a Goodwill, and I had some customers complain about the yellow man from Timbuktu. But no, Spice Girls are great, and the movie Spice World is an excellent movie, in my opinion. It's got so many great cameos. You know, Elvis Costello and Elton John, Alan Cumming is in the movie, George Wen. I mean, it's a cinematic masterpiece, and I really like how they sort of poke fun at the manufactured nature of the band by having a flashback sequence which shows them shows their meager beginnings at a small pizza shop in London.
Alright, well, Todd, thanks for that voicemail. I had to cut it short there because Todd went on to read the phone book to me. But yeah, Spice Girls, that was a pretty popular episode attributing the Spice Girls there. In fact, if you don't mind me jumping around a bit here, I thought I'd read a fun email I got from Aaron Rose, who writes, regarding your comment about the benefit of being a Spice Girls lover, it sounds like a big loophole to me. I had mentioned that it's kind of cool because on that song Wannabe, they say, if you want to be my lover, first you got to get with my friends. And I was like, well, that's a pretty good deal because, you know, I mean, any one of those Spice Girls is great, but before you got to be her lover, you got to get with all the others first. But she writes, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends. Sounds great at first glance, but they all say it. So therefore, in order to hook up with any one of them, you have to have hooked up with all the others, who will also wait until you've gotten with the other girls. It's an endless loop. That's like one of those paradoxes that you could tell a robot to make his brain blow up there. So, you know, I guess you're right, Aaron. That could never come true there. But thanks for killing my dreams. And so soon after Martin Luther King Day, that was kind of sad. Well, here's a voicemail from Eric Bradner, a fellow Sacramentan, who also wrote a great piece about Jack Valenti.
Robert Berry, this is Eric Bradner. Thanks for finally putting up Jack Valenti. That's great. I appreciate it. And hey, my son is here on the phone. He wants to have a few words with you.
I'm going to tell you how much I like the Pink Panther.
Okay, go ahead. Talk to
the part of the Pink Panther was, well, I don't know my favorite part.
The part where he fell down was his favorite part. So, hey, yeah, he liked Cheaper by the Dozen, too, so you know, screw you, Robert Berry.
That's pretty funny. I like the part in the Pink Panther when he fell down. That's like saying, I like that part in Attack of the Clones where it sucked. You know, just narrow it down a little bit more next time. But, hey, good to hear from you, Eric. Eric's a really cool guy. He's involved in the trash film orgy that we have here every summer in Sacramento, which is coming up. I believe it's the first week of June, if I recall correctly. And we got this great six-week-long crazy movie festival at the Crest Theater in Sacramento. So if you're going to be anywhere around Sacramento during that summertime, please make sure you let me know. And also, super special announcement here. We are going to be at the San Diego Comic Book Convention this year, which I believe is the week of July 20th or the week before that. But anyway, I'll be there, as will TV's Lou Ferrigno. So we won't be together, but we'll be in the same building. So that's kind of like a special moment for everybody involved. So, next up, we have a voicemail from Jennifer. And yes, she is a lady.
Hi, this is Jennifer calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And I just listened to episode 62 of your podcast. We love your show, and I'd like to win some prizes. However, I'm Canadian, so I don't know if we're eligible. Anyway, the days of the week.
No, Canadians are not eligible. I'm sorry. That's extra shipping. You know, if I got to spend $2 to send you a free DVD, you know, I can't afford the customs charges. So, sorry there, Jennifer. Have to let you down. Though I will send you an autographed picture, because that's a pretty good prize there. So, actually, by the way, don't leave your phone numbers on these voicemails, because then creepy people who listen to the podcast will probably call you. So I had to cut her voicemail short there to keep creepy people other than me from giving her a call. So, yeah, let's go to a little bit more voicemail here, emails. I get one here from Jennifer, who writes, "Hey, R. Berry, I just subscribed to your podcast a week ago," and it's spelled W-E-A-K. "It is great. My name is John, and I'm 14. What? The email address says Jennifer, but he says he's John, and he's 14. Hey, don't listen to this podcast if you're under 18. Allie writes, "I love your site, and I hope others do also." Well, sorry to disappoint you there. And then somebody named Dave writes, "Hello, my name is Dave." Hey, that's pretty cool. "My wife and I love your site and podcast. We both grew up in northern Jersey." My condolences. "And I was telling her about a peanut butter cookie that was similar to an Oreo, only it was all peanut butter flavor. They were called gauchos, but that's not what I'm writing about." What? "There was also a chocolate cookie that we loved that came in a box with a shadowy spy figure on it." Well, the only thing I know that came in a box was our pervert mailman. Wish I could help you more there. Let's see. Sylvester Thomas writes, "Hello, my name is Sylvester Thomas, but my friends call me Sly. I love the show and have been listening for a few months, and will call into the voicemail line really soon to say hi. But for now, it's on to the contest." And he goes on to guess the contest clips there. And Sylvester's an actual... we'll get back to Sylvester there. Sorry for being out of order there. Sam writes... "Hello, Retro. Wow, your podcast is incredible. We started listening to you the other day, and we uploaded a bunch of your shows for our road trip, and we really love your show." Oh, well, thanks. And he made some guesses on the contest there. I got this kind of a snooty email from somebody named Farnabazus Artaxerxes, which I don't think is his real name. And he writes, "The depth of thought that you displayed on this article about your Polish posters reminded me of Olympus Mons." And he goes on to, like, use all these big words to kind of insult me. And, like, I looked up Olympus Mons, and it's, like, this big volcano on Mars. It's, like the biggest volcano in the universe. So, like, when he's saying the depth I showed was, like, this big volcano, it was like he was using irony to say that I was dumb or something. So... I'm on to your game, Farnabazus Artaxerxes. You know, I mean, your name may be worth a lot in Scrabble, but it's not worth much in my book. I'll tell you that one much for sure. But... I sound like I've been drinking, yes, because it's my fourth glass of wine. But anyway, that's what people tune in for here, I think. That's what they say on the street. Well, anyway, let's see here. Well, that's enough for email. I don't like listening to email on podcasts, so I'm sorry I tortured you all with that. It's pretty much just masturbatory self-congratulation stuff. I could do that enough on my own. Especially the pictures of Scott Baio. Speaking of Scott Baio, this is hilarious here. I get, like, these press releases all the time for, like, DVDs that people want me to push on my website. And I got this one that says, "Hey, Charles in Charge is coming out on DVD." And they write this big elaborate thing how it's, like, you know, the most important show since Meet the Press ever came on. And you know, blah, 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 Willie Ames guest stars, "Who You Love From Eight Is Enough," and all this other stuff, and, you know, Scott Baio's a legend. And it says, the last paragraph said, here, I'll tell you exactly what it said here. Here we go. It says, this set would be a great opportunity to feature in any tie-ins regarding Black History Month. I look forward to hearing from you. So I replied like, oh yeah, Scott Baio is certainly one of the most well-known black celebrities of our time. And the guy wrote back and said, whoops, I forgot to change that from the Richard Pryor press release I sent out just earlier. So, see, even people in Hollywood make mistakes, just like you and me. So anyway, I thought that was kind of funny in a way. So yeah, we had a couple contests last episode, and one of them was I played a backwards sound clip, and if you could guess it, you're going to win a prize. And we had a lot of correct entries for this, and I thought I would let you know who the answer is for. And this is for, actually, Sam Ferguson. You won the contest here, and let me play this for you so you could play along again yourself if in case you missed out the first time. We played this song clip, and people had to guess what it was. It's backwards, a little bit tough, but maybe not so tough, but anyway, we had a lot of people get it right. My wife's shaking her head in shame as I do this podcast. She's busy looking at Zodiac websites to find out what her future has in store. But anyway, so in case you didn't guess it, here's that sound clip played right. This is the backwards of the backward clip, so now it's playing the right way. In case you haven't guessed it by now, it is the beautiful drum solo, beginning of Hot for Teacher by Alex Van Halen. Can you believe this is all done by one guy? This is not studio trickery, or magic or Santeria or anything like that. That was actual human drumming talent displayed before your very eyes and ears. And we had another contest as well, where we had a bunch of days of the week in music form, and you had to guess what the songs were and who sang them. And we had a lot of great guesses. And I wanted to make it was very difficult. I think maybe one person got all seven of them, and I've emailed them because they're going to win a prize. But to make it fair, if you could just get a few of them, you were eligible. And we got about, you know, maybe 40 or 50 good entries there. But Sylvester Thomas came up with all but one of them there. So pretty good. Pretty good job there. In fact, the one he couldn't guess was probably one of the easier ones that some people got. But for those of you that didn't hear it or would like to hear it again, here are the musical days of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So the answers are: for Sunday was U2's Sunday Bloody Sunday. Monday was the Bengals' Manic Monday, written by Prince, if you didn't know that. Tuesday is the Rolling Stones, Ruby Tuesday. And Wednesday is She's Leaving Home by the Beatles. Thursday was The Cure's Friday, I'm in Love. Using that song is kind of cheating because he says like every day of the week in there, so it's sort of a catch-all. And Friday is not too much of a heard song, but it was by a group called Love and Kisses, and it was the title song from the movie Thank God It's Friday. And finally, Saturday was from A Tribe Called Quest, and it's called a roller skating jam called Saturday. So here's them one last time so you can put those all together. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So there you have it, folks. So we're going to kind of close out the show here with some really fun Japanese theme songs. Last episode, we played some ones from the theme song for the Spider-Man Japanese show. And a gentleman whose name eludes me right now, and I'm sorry, I will plug you in the next podcast there, but he gave me a great link to this site that has a bunch of just super thorough Japanese theme songs, and I'm going to play some of them for you here. I hope you enjoy them. Our first one is from a cartoon for a character that a lot of people may recognize if you've seen Japanese toys before, or even the Shogun Warriors from the 70s. His name is Grand Mazinger, or I think he's sometimes called Mazinger Z. But I don't know too much about Japanese stuff, so don't trust me as an authority. But I really love this theme song.
そびえる黒金の城スーパーロボットマジンガー Z 無敵の力は僕らのために正義の心ファイルダーオン飛ばせ鉄拳ロケットパンチ未だ出すんだ プレストファイヤー マジンゴー マジンゴー マジンガー Z!
Our next one is, I've never heard of this show before. It was on this site, but I just really like the theme song. It's just so enthusiastically sung. The title of this says Barom 1, or maybe it's called Shojin Barom 1. But it sounds more like Shojin Barom 2, if you know what I mean.
Maharotto de brolololo, brolololo, brolololo! Tobasunda kyun 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 Majin doru georu roru roru Yatsukeru nda Tumababa Barom cross de kyun kyun Futari na hitori Barom Minna de yobo Barom wan Kanarazu kuru zo Barom 超人 僕ら の Barom 1
That's kind of cool. Sounds like he's going like he's like slapping his lips together while he sings there, but Shojin Barom 1. And the last one we're going to play today, maybe a little bit more well-known to some of you there. We all may have heard of Astro Boy, which is one of the early Japanese animation cartoons ever made. Certainly one of the first ones Americans may have known about, next to Speed Racer. And here's the American version of the theme to kind of get you used to it. Starting soon here. And here's the really cool original Japanese version. That's about all the time we have for today. Thanks for being loyal listeners. Thanks for sticking around. Some of you have been around here for all 63 episodes. Some of you, this may be the first one. But I really appreciate you checking them out. The first few episodes we had, I got about 100 people listening to them. Then it grew to about 800 or 1,000. And in the recent episodes, we're getting pretty close to 3,000 downloads an episode. So it's growing really nicely. And I do appreciate you listening. Please check out the website, retrocrush.com. We're coming up on 5 years' worth of stuff on that site. April will be our five-year anniversary. And there's just literally hundreds of articles and fun features to check out that we built up over time. And email me, rbarry@retrocrush.com. I'd love to hear from you. And, of course, call the Retro Crush hotline at 916-231-9480. And we're going to leave you with the theme to that classic game show of yesteryear, The Dating Game. Everybody.